Hey, it's Jeremy Roenick. It's time for Snipes and Stripes right here on NoFilter.net. I am in Nashua, New Hampshire, selling my whiskey in the wild, which I'm proud to be a sponsor of our Snipes and Stripes with my good buddy Tim Peel, who is there at his house in St. Louis, which I was at, by the way, a few weeks ago. And it's a wonderful household with a great family. And look at the smile on Tim. Good to see you, buddy. How are you today?
How do you think I'm doing today?
I think you're doing amazing.
Listen, our show is a hockey show, but very quickly, it was historic last night. Not only did Donald Trump win, he won the popular vote, which he didn't get in 2016. And without getting too political, Americans are just, they're fed up with the current administration and the cost of groceries and insurance and just everything. And JR, you and I don't know about you, but for years I didn't look at the price of groceries. I just went in and bought it, and I had to buy what I had to buy. But like the other day, I'm going in to buy bacon, and it's $9.
And yeah. It's crazy. I think it goes even more than that, because you make really good points. And let me. I don't care about going politics. I don't care about what, you know, how I sound. America got saved yesterday, November 5th. America got saved yesterday, and I don't care what anybody says. Our country was going in the wrong direction. We were spending too much money. We're not creating our own energy. We're letting anybody into our country, and we were being run by people who were literally in it for themselves, who don't care about the American people. And I will say this, I will go in for it. Yesterday, we saw an awakening of a group of people who finally see the real mentality behind their thought process, the method behind the madness. They've noticed the lies. They are seeing the deception. They are seeing the massive amounts of gaslighting, and they're sick of it. They were promised one thing, we got another. We were told that one side was going to kill democracy, while we watched democracy get killed by the people who were warning us. The American people, at least the majority of the American people, the populace of the American people, saw through the red and thought, yes, that's why our country just got saved. That's going to be my rant for the political.
Smitty's asking if you can turn down your speakers just a tad, buddy. Well, and to your point, we need less government, not more government. And you got poor Peanut the squirrel getting euthanized. They send 10 people from the government to raid this guy's house and kill Peanut the squirrel.
Was that one of the saddest stories of the year?
It's ridiculous. It's like
aren't they the Greenpeace people? Aren't they the people of peace and love? Aren't they the people of protect animals? Protection of animals, make sure we treat everybody, make sure we're humane. And you have a happy squirrel.
Yeah.
And you take it because why? And you kill it because why?
Because some Karen complained that somebody had a squirrel as a pet. It's ridiculous.
The problem is these people are bored because they have nothing to do, and they're mad at the world, and they just want to make other people's world angry and sad, and it's really bad. But we don't have to worry about that anymore, because Donald Trump is going to fix this country, and he's going to make it good for everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. And don't read through the rhetoric and the lies. Donald Trump doesn't want to get rid of abortion. He's put it in the state's hands. You will be fine. You will be safe. He's not going to turn the military on the people who don't agree with him. He's not going to do that, because he's already been president and he didn't do it. So all you fear mongers who want to scare everybody into their vote, it didn't work. I thought I watched Barstool Sports guy this morning. Okay, you should look at his post on Instagram. He does it. What he says is so perfectly bang on. What's his name again?
Oh, Dave Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy. He says such a good thing this morning. He goes, listen, the Democrats need to regroup and figure out who they are. They ran on fear. They ran on smearing. They ran on trying to call people racist and Nazis. And instead of running on policy, they ran on hatred and fear.
Yep.
And people just don't want that anymore. They don't want it.
And listen to our listeners. I'm not some radical Republican. I voted for Obama in 2008. I vote for who I think is best for the country. But to be called a racist and a fascist and comparing this rally at Madison Square Garden to Hitler in 1929, give me a break.
Just think about that. By the way, this is why they lost yesterday, because the American people, especially the intelligent ones who do their homework and watch and listen and really pay attention, they know that it's BS. They know that the lies are coming and the lies are if somebody's accusing you of doing something, it's probably a good chance that they're probably doing what they're telling you you're doing to right. take the attention off them. Right. And that's exactly what happened. So,
Joe, the truck driver that's driving a Bud Light truck could not give a shit about Tom Hanks' endorsement or any of these other celebrities. People do not care.
And they don't care about January 6th.
They don't care. They want to be able to provide for their family. They want to be able to provide for their kids. They just want a better life. And that's what it boils down to.
You know what it boils down to? God bless America.
I agree.
Because democracy has been saved.
Yeah.
Now Donald Trump needs to unite this country and take and bring it back to where the last administration brought it to. And control the media. Media needs to have way more accountability than what they have right now. And I hope something happens in that sphere as well. Anyway, did you happen to watch the Boston Bruins game last night, or do you want to start someplace else?
No, let's start with our sponsors first, and then we'll go to the Boston
game. I already said my sponsor is right behind me, Whiskey in the Wild, baby. The best whiskey of all time, chocolate and chocolate orange, whiskeyinthewild.com. It's right on top of your screen, too. You can't miss it.
I love it. And to protect the neck guards, we have the number one cut resistant neck guard on the market. Also to BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch the games as they happen. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA, NHL, to entertainment and political props. Head to BetOnline today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Thank you to BetOnline.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
But yes, let's talk about that Boston game, buddy.
Okay, so we talk about where the game is today. We talk about the mentality of players. We talk about their toughness. We talk about their competitive level, their commitment to the game. There are certain things that happen in the course of a game when you watch a game now that you just want to jump through the screen and grab the player and shake him and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you embarrassing yourself like this? Why are you acting like this? Get up, get up, get up. So we had one of those events last night. It was Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Boston Bruins in Toronto. It was the end of the first period. And Pacioretty chasing down a defenseman coming out of the from around the net into the corner, hits defenseman Peak. Now, I don't know anything about Peak. He's smaller.
Yep.
I believe his name is Peak, P-E-E-K-E, I believe his name is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old he is or how long he's been in the league. I don't know if I've seen him, but he gets hit along the boards.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I've been hit a million times harder and a million times as much as he got hit there. And I'm not saying he didn't feel pain, because you feel pain when you get hurt. But he got kind of crunched into the boards. Didn't hit his head, hit his shoulders. His shoulders got crunched, and he went to the ground. And he laid on the ground. He laid there.
Yeah.
Like he was dead.
Yeah.
Of course, the referee's arm goes up because he sees something happens. They don't want to miss anything. They call a 5-minute major, thinking it could have been a boarding, hitting the head against the boards or something of that nature. Right? I'm sitting here saying, that was a perfectly good hit, innocent hit. And by the way, I used to hit 100 times harder and get hit 100 times harder. And yet this kid is laying on the ice. Now the game stops. The referees decide they're going to go to a replay. Okay? Which I think everybody questions a replay. But when I hear that they're going to a replay to review this penalty, which is a 5-minute penalty, which could be very detrimental to the game, especially when 0-0 at the time. They look at the tape, and it was within seconds. They come back and they're like, reverse of the call, no penalty on the play. Yet this kid was down for 3 minutes on the ice, whether he was trying to amplify the situation and get a penalty call, or whether he's accentuating, you know, his injury. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to watch. He went off the ice and he didn't come back the rest of the game. Now, I don't know whether he was intimidated playing in Toronto. Maybe he didn't feel good last night. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not giving him the best. I'm not. He had the Toronto Maple Leaf flu, maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to give him – usually I'll give people the benefit of the doubt. In this situation, I am not giving this player the benefit of the doubt.
But Pacioretty plays for Toronto. Why would he have the Toronto flu?
No, not Pacioretty. Pacioretty didn't get a penalty. It was the Keith kid that was on the ice, laying on the ice, that left the game and didn't come back. If this is how tough we are and this is how much pain tolerance we have – now, could he have separated his shoulder in that little situation? Possibly. I highly doubt it. It was very innocent. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say, I don't care. I don't like the optics of it.
But you know what? I don't think we can question, first of all.
No, usually I don't question. But in this situation right now, I'm going to question it. I have every right to question it, and I'm going to question it. Because you know why? Because I have been there before. I've been hit like that. I know how it feels. I know what the situation could be. And the odds of something of that nature going so bad that you have to lay on the ice for 3 minutes and then leave the game for the rest of the game.
Well, first of all, that's what makes the official job very difficult, because
they did a great job. They did a great job.
In real time, it may have looked worse than it was. That's the great thing about being able to review every major or match penalty that is called in the NHL, JR, is immediately reviewed. And they get on the horn with Chris King and the guys in the situation in Toronto. And as you said, they looked at it and
they looked at it for a second. And guess what? Right. And guess what? They obviously thought the same thing that I thought when they looked at it. They're like, right. No, that's not a penalty. Take it away right now. Right. I think I would have gone even further. If I was a referee, I would have given Keith 2 minutes for delay a game.
Well, you can't do that, but I get
I don't
you.
Care if you can't do that. You keep saying you can't do that. I don't care if you can do that or not. I'm just saying, hey, listen, we've changed a lot of rules before. We should start changing rules about delay of game because you're a puss.
Well, that's not going to happen. So that's why you're not in charge of the rules. So
that's right. Listen, I don't deny that. It's exactly right. I would not be a good person to be putting in the rules committee. That's for sure.
Part of the problem too, JR, with players these days, they don't protect themselves along the boards. I don't understand it. I don't understand that they don't put their hands out you know, the gloves in front of themselves against the glass, brace for a hit. They just let themselves get plastered now. I don't understand.
Again, you make such a good point, because later in the game, later in the same game, a very good player and a smart player, Pastrnak,
yeah,
has the puck on the boards. He's coming up the boards, and the Toronto player is coming to hit him. So obviously Pastrnak knows he's going to get hit.
Right.
And you know the Toronto player is going to finish his check along the boards. So as Pastrnak is going up the boards towards the blue line, right before he gets hit, he turns to face the boards.
Yeah.
And he gets kind of hit from behind, and he goes headfirst into the boards.
I don't
know. Now, the player got a 2-minute boarding penalty when Pastrnak literally turned the worst way that you can possibly turn.
Yeah.
And put himself in such a vulnerable position that it looked bad. And we talked about this. We had a rule in the National Hockey League that the hit tee, the person that gets hit, has to have some accountability about what position they put themselves in. And no way do you ever learn in hockey to turn your back on the boards to right. a hit. You have to cushion a hit. You have to take it on and use the boards and use and really brace for it. Mm-hmm. Again, whether Pastrnak was not thinking at the time, or this game is now that he's going to get hit, so he thinks he can make that turn and be okay or get away with it. Either way, it's you got to learn how to absorb a hit and take a hit. And Pastrnak is at fault. I don't think it should have been a penalty again. But the referees called a boarding penalty. But it was Pastrnak's fault. It wasn't the player's fault. He was playing good, aggressive, clean hockey.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It confuses me. We teach our 12-year-old kids how to protect themselves along the wall. I don't understand it. But that particular play, what makes the referee's decision so difficult is you've got to in a tenth of a second figure out, did he turn or had he already been turned? It's such a fine line, but to your point, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And but we see more and more of it all the time where players don't protect themselves. It's boggling. Yeah.
Who is the kid that got absolutely destroyed by Trouba, I think the other day, from Montreal? He comes across the blue line. He's got his head down. He's looking he just got absolutely tattooed inside the blue line. I've never seen a kid have his head down worse in any kind of hockey since maybe mites or squirts staring at the puck.
And it might have been the same night or a couple nights later where Gudas blew somebody up for Anaheim. Gudas threw a check in at Madison Square Garden and blew somebody up too.
Oh.
Hey, listen, we were talking about the election, and I've got to read a tweet that I saw last night from my good buddy Tony D'Angelo. And I don't know if you remember about
we love Tony. You love to bring up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read a tweet from Europe. From Russia?
He made a tweet from Russia, so I'm going to read it to you. This feels good. He's talking about the election. He's a Trumper. I was one of the only athletes to stand behind Trump from day one. It's one of the reasons I'm not in the NHL anymore, but our country is more important. The silent majority once again showed up. People who unfortunately had to be scared to support used the vote. So he's blaming being a Trumper, even though he played for 3 or 4 years after everyone knew that he was a Trumper, so I commented. I go, I don't think you standing by Trump is the reason. I stand by my comments a year ago. You're a distraction. You played for six teams in 9 years. Look in the mirror. So then it just went back and forth, and
you have a lot of fun with this banter, don't you?
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. It's hilarious, and. But anyway, my point is, he wants to blame Trump. But I want to very quickly read you his.
Everybody blames Trump. That's what you do. You blame. It's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault. If I don't sell any whiskey tonight, I'm blaming Donald.
So in 2022 with Carolina, he had 51 points. Year before, with the Rangers, he had 53 points. Year before that, he had 30 points. So you're telling me that you're a 30, 25, 20 to 30 point guy, and you're not in the NHL because of Donald Trump? I'm sorry. I don't buy it. And his comeback,
most teams would kill to have a 50-point D guy.
His comeback to me is, I was a good teammate. You should ask my teammates, blah, blah, blah. Listen, there's a reason you're not in the NHL, and just own it. So quit claiming that you're a supporter of Trump. But anyway,
I'm so happy that I have the perfect teammate for my podcast. You have the perfect teammate for your podcast. We are two beauties that just don't care. I mean, look at me. I just went off blasting a guy for faking his injury, you know, and you're blasting somebody for faking why he's not in the NHL anymore. I think it's fantastic.
You know what? And I've got a lot of nice followers that they've reached out today and they're like, hey, I've got your back and all that. And I'm like, I appreciate it. It's very nice of you, but you don't have to have my back. I don't give a shit what people say about me on Twitter. It doesn't matter. All that matters is my family and friends, and everybody else is just a bunch of keyboard warriors. So anyway, two things quickly. One, we have to give a shout out to our good friend and owner of nofilter.net, Joe Manuel. He's going through a bit of a health issue right now. And we love you, Joe. And we just want to let you know that JR and I are both thinking about you.
We love you, Joe. We know you're going to battle through this, and you are going to come out on the other side healthy and happy and stronger. And if anybody I know can get through that terrible, terrible C word, you can. We love you, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, before I talk, I went to the Blues game last night. But D'Angelo gave me a shot. He goes, yeah, you and 12 listeners on your podcast. And I go, 12, that's pretty good. I said, listen, I said, I'd have you on as a guest, but I said, I don't think the internet's too good in Russia, so we probably couldn't have you on. So that was the last shot that I gave him. So, but talk about a health scare. I went to the Blues game last night with Bronson. We were six rows behind the Blues bench. And all of a sudden, we see Dylan Holloway. We saw him take a puck in the neck. He goes up the ice. I love his quote today. He said, why didn't you go to the bench? He said, I saw that I had a two-on-one, so I wanted to complete the play. But he came to the bench, and you saw the mark on Twitter or social media. And it got him in the collarbone or neck area here. And I think he had difficulty breathing. And right away, they grabbed the medics down the hall. And they put him on a stretcher and took him out. There was a minute and 11 seconds left in the first period. And Wes McCauley, the great referee that he is, he knew the players from the Blues were a little rattled, obviously concerned about their teammates. So we sent everybody to the dressing room, and they finished the minute 11 at the start of the second period. But he's doing fine. I think he had difficulty breathing, but I saw some interviews today, and he's good. Did you ever have anything like that, JR, with any of the guys? Like, we remember the Detroit player years ago, and Pronger got hit with a puck in the chest, a slap shot in his heart. Did you ever have any incidents like that when you were playing with any of your teammates or players you were playing against?
Not getting hit in the throat. I remember that. Who was a kid in Montreal that got the slap shot in the throat, and he almost died, and he had his career ended. He was one of those pesky pain in the ass type players. And I remember he was playing against Philly, and I think it was Chris Therrien that took the shot. It was a slap shot that hit him right in the throat and broke his larynx and, ended his career. I remember Dave Manson getting punched in the throat, and Dave Manson still can't talk without the raspy voice. He's got a very kind of whispery voice because his vocal cords got damaged. Nothing about getting hit, but I remember in Vancouver one year, Troy Murray got hit along the boards, and hit the bridge, his fake teeth bridge, got lodged out of place and fell back into his throat. And he was literally down his throat. And they literally had to, you know, almost cut a hole into his throat to try to get it out. It was really scary situation. And, you know, you talk about almost seeing somebody die right in front of you. It was It's not a good situation. I can't imagine what everybody was thinking in that building last night with St. Louis. But glad he's okay. It was one of those freaky things, right? The puck hits you right in the right place, and it kind of has an abnormal effect on your breathing, your body, and you really, really, you really freak out. He seemed pretty calm, though, and everybody seemed calm, which, you know the trainers and Ray, really out there, he's the best.
Absolutely. You know, hey, Craig, Smitty's asking for you to turn down your speakers a little bit more, bud.
Yeah.
Trent McCleary, thank you, Smitty. Trent McCleary was the player that you were referencing in Montreal, JR.
Yes.
I said to some guys I was sitting with at the Blues game, I said, if you ever want, not that you want something to happen to you, but be at a sports event because of the doctors, the medics, if it's a fan, if it's a player, that's the place for something to happen, because those people are right on it right away, and good for them. So,
yeah. But what is going on with the Winnipeg Jets?
They're hot as hell.
It's unbelievable, and it's
12-1. 12-1.
You want to talk about a team that is just on a roll offensively, defensively, and goaltending wise. I mean, they are in tune. You can tell they're having a lot of fun. Guys are doing their job. We had this conversation about Winnipeg in one of our earlier podcasts about how it's hard for the fans to get there. You have a small building. We talked about Mark Chipman, who's one of the best guys in the world, right? One of the best owners in the world. He's getting some good benefits of his team right now, and he deserves it.
Yeah, and you know what? They made the transition from Rick Bowness to Scott Arneil taking over. I think that was a brilliant move by Cheveldayoff. Arneil's been there. He was Bowness's assistant for a few years. He knows the players. They've got in Hellebuck, obviously, won the Vezina last year, one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. But they're just a solid team. They're 12-1. I saw them play here in St. Louis. They are a solid team. They are fun to watch. And you know who else is playing really well? Is our buddy's team, Billy Guerin. Minnesota Wild are 8-2. I didn't see that out of Minnesota this year.
They were one of my sleepers coming into the season. And I think number one, because I know, and we both know, you and I know Billy Guerin, right? We know Billy Guerin, and you know he is just not happy with what happened last year, mm-hmm. with how his team finished last year. And he's going to do everything he can to get that team back to the Stanley Cup. There's no question. And I'm sure he had some very verbal confrontations in the postseason meetings last year. I'm sure he is, during training camp, he was down there around the players, reminding them of what the mentality is going to be like. I'm happy. I'm happy. Craig Leopold is a great man, the owner of Minnesota Wild. Amazing. There might not be a guy who loves his team more than Craig Leopold. He truly believes, he loves it so much. He's at almost every practice. Right. He's at every game.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I think the fans are still supporting it. They saw what happens when you don't support your team back in the early 90s.
Right.
You know, when Hicks brought them down to Dallas, which pissed everybody off. Mm-hmm. But they support that team, and I hope they keep it up. I mean, they're 8-2. Yeah, they're right up on top chasing.
They're 8-2. And two overtime.
Chasing Winnipeg. There's a lot of mediocre teams, and that Pacific division just doesn't. It doesn't seem to be, you know. I mean, Los Angeles is at the top of that right now. Vegas is right there, but it doesn't seem like anybody's really impressing me from that division.
Well, to stay with the Central Division, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Dallas, and St. Louis, Utah, Colorado, Chicago. Last, number eight, is Nashville. 4-7-1. Barry Trotz made a comment last night or this morning. I saw it on social media that if they don't get their shit together, basically, in the next month or so, that his rebuild is going to be accelerated. And I think we're all shocked, JR, with the goaltending that they have in Soros, with them bringing Marchessault, Stamkos. They, you know, this team is really underachieving, and Ryan O'Reilly is one of my favorite guys, and I've left him alone because this isn't the time to text somebody and see how they're doing. But this team is underachieving, and I don't understand it.
I'm actually embarrassed I picked them as my dark horse to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
I mean, granted, we're only 13 games in, but they can't afford to have a down period or a losing streak now the rest of the season, seeing the way that they've started. I'm shocked that Steven Stamkos has had such trouble adjusting to a new team. You don't even hear about him. You don't even hear from Marchessault. It's really troubling. Nashville's one of those cities that you need to be successful. There's a lot of things in Nashville, right? It's the music capital of the world. It's the country music fun capital of the world. There's so many bars and fun things to go to, and you know, you got college football games and stuff like that. There's a lot of distractions in hockey. The Tennessee Titans are, you know, not that they're the best team, but they'll attract more people at the game if the Nashville Predators are losing. There's a more of a reason for Nashville to win hockey games than just standings, and they better think about that.
You know what? It's not that I disagree with you, but my point of view on the Stamkos thing, I'm actually not surprised. I think he took that really personal when the GM of Tampa wouldn't re-sign him. And I just don't know. I don't know if I think it's going to take a long time for him to get over that. And I don't think this year, maybe he may never get it. He may not get over it this season. He really took that to heart, JR. It is. I'm sure he thinks about it every day, that I should be still a Tampa Bay Lightning. I should still be the captain. And I feel like he feels I shouldn't be hired a Tampa Bay Lightning
player. Yeah, but at some point you gotta get over it.
I know. I agree. But I don't know if he's gonna get over it in the next few months. And they've got, you know, you and I talked about it last week. It's in the high 80s, the percentage of teams, if you're not in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving. Well, guess what? They've got 3 weeks until American Thanksgiving. And if they're not in the playoffs by then, their chances of making the playoffs are greatly diminished the rest of the year. So I'm hoping they can turn it around. I've got a lot of favorite guys I like there in Yossi, O'Reilly. I love Andrew Brunette, the coach. I love Barry Trotz. I'm hoping they can turn it around, but I don't know. I don't know what the problem is there. So it'll be interesting. But you know, a team that hasn't missed a beat is the Florida Panthers. They are just rolling, buddy. They are rolling 9-3-1. They don't seem to have lost a step, even though their summer was very short. And they have.
What do you think the reasoning is for that? What do you think the reasoning is for that?
Coaching, leadership with Matthew Tkachuk and Ekblad, and I think Barkov's a quiet leader. He's the guy. Alexander Barkov is one of those guys. The coaches know what they're going to get out of him every game. He is one of the most consistent players. He's not up and down with his games. He leads by example. And I think they've got a lot of players on that team that have a lot of pride, that are leaders, and they're like, we're not going to take the foot off the gas. This is the team we are, and it's impressive.
It really is. And listen, Sam Reinhart, you got to give Sam Reinhart just a big pat on the back. For after the year that he had last year, scoring 50 goals, signs a huge contract. We have seen players that have signed big contracts take a deep breath and exhale and and not keep up the level of play that is indicative of their salary. Mm-hmm. But here, Reinhart,
right,
it shows he cares about – he shows he loves this game so much. He has a lot of pride in the way that he plays every day, and he plays it the same way no matter what he's getting paid, and he continues to score goals. And, you know, he's a great guy. So I love that aspect. And whatever happened to Sam Bennett, this is a guy that everybody thought was just a pain in the ass third line grinder that can play hard hockey, be a good forechecker, maybe kill penalties, be an antagonist. But look at him go. Look at him play the game right now. He's 8 goals. He's playing on the top line, the second line, and he's kind of changing his identity. And I say this identity, this is why the Florida Panthers are still playing well.
Yeah.
Because they play to an identity. They have a system in play and they all understand it and they all play to it. Everybody has their own style of play. Obviously, Barkov has a different style than Bennett. Bennett has a different style than Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe has a different style than Matt Tkachuk. But they play their style of game within the structure that the coach lays out for them and within the system. And they play it hard. Mm-hmm. Is there a player on that team who is soft?
No, they don't. They don't have anybody.
They have no soft players on that team. And you know what that means? That means if you're a player playing against that team, you know it's going to be a tough night.
Yeah.
You know if you're a player playing against that team, you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
You know if you're a player playing against that team, you are going to feel pain more than one time in the course of the game. And you better be prepared for it, because if you're not, they're going to run you out of the building. And that's an identity that is so hard to beat. And unfortunately, so many teams don't get it. They can't grasp that mentality of an identity like that. And that's why the Florida Panthers, A, were in the finals 2 years ago and lost, but won last year. And now we're on a roll to possibly repeat again.
Are you surprised at all, since we're talking about the Eastern Conference, are you surprised at all with Washington with the start? You know, Ovi's got 7 goals, 7 assists.
Wow. Here goes his streak. He starts with 2 goals in like 8 games. He's got 5 goals in the last 4 or 5 games. He's such a freak. I am surprised. I'm surprised about Washington.
I think we mentioned it last year, but I am a big fan of this Spencer Carberry. I think he's a great young coach. They're off to an 8-3 start. I don't think anybody saw Washington doing that, JR.
Well, no, and sometimes it's those coaches that nobody knows that is looking for respect and looking for that opportunity to make his mark. Who's the kid, the 32-year-old McElrath? Is it
McElrath? McElrath. Dylan, yeah.
So, yeah, Dylan McElrath. You players in that locker room see this guy come into the league and fight for a job.
Yeah.
He comes into that locker room. I'm sure he's happy as hell to be there. I bet you his personality is great. His gratitude is great. I think the players are noticing how great it is to play in the National Hockey League, how fortunate that they are. Because when you see a kid like that who's been in the minors his whole career and then come up to the show and succeed through energy, succeed through just total determination and refuse to lose, he's there. He goes, I'm not going back. And I personally hope he doesn't. I think he's made his mark now where I think he can feel a little bit more comfortable. But I think there's something to be said about a story like that on your team that your players can rally around, your players can see, can learn, can be like appreciative of. And I just, there's got to be a little bit of that happening in Washington.
You know, I'm a big fan of stories like that, that Dylan McElrath, he has played his pretty much in his entire career with Hershey. Won a couple Calder Cups down there. So those are always great stories. Another great story is, as of a couple days ago, Cole Caulfield and Nico Hischier, and there might be a third, so if Smitty can look it up while we're talking, but they're both leading the NHL in goals. And
They were. They're not anymore.
But guess a couple days ago they were.
Well, they are. They're tied, I guess. They're tied.
But my point was, guess what number they wear, Jer? They both wear number 13, Johnny Gaudreau. I thought that was awesome. A couple days ago, they're leading the league in scoring. They're tied, and both of them were wearing number 13. Cole Caulfield switched to number 13 this year to honor Johnny Gaudreau, and Nico Hischier has always worn 13. And I think there might have even been a third player.
Guess who also wears number 13?
Who?
Sam Reinhart.
There you go.
10 goals.
That was the
10 goals.
That was the third.
Three players that are leading the league in goals all wear number 13.
You think somebody's looking down? Hey, isn't that awesome? Things like that are bizarre, buddy. Things like that are bizarre, you know.
It's truly unbelievable. The force in the universe, and I don't mean to get, you know, physiological with you or, you know, all this crazy stuff, but there is energy. There's energy in the air. There's energy that surrounds you. There's a force. There's a higher force. There's a higher power that makes things happen.
100%.
And this just doesn't happen where Cole Caulfield or Nico Hischier should be leading the league in goals right now. But the fact that they both wear 13s at this point of the season, and no one's going to be surprised that Sam Reinhart is leading the league because he scored 50 last year.
Right.
But that's energy, man. That's
Reinhart, Hischier, and Caulfield, all 13. That's it gives you chills, buddy. Gives you chills, you know.
It really does. It really does. It actually warms my heart.
Right.
It warms my heart.
Right.
So
you've got a big weekend. We'll get back to hockey in a second, but I don't want to run out of time here, and I want you to talk about this upcoming weekend. Because I know I'm excited. I went and made sure my tux still fit right yesterday. I went upstairs and made sure that I didn't put on too many pounds over the winter. The tux still fits. Tell me how excited, or is it anxiety? Is it stress? What are you feeling going into the Hall of Fame weekend?
You know, I've felt pretty much every emotion and without the anger, you know, over the last little while. There's a wave of emotions. There's a wave of fears. There's a wave of concerns. I want the whole weekend to go really smooth. I want it to be fun. I want everybody to have fun. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to not soak it all in. I don't want to screw up my speech. Now, there's so much. I want people to enjoy this weekend. And I have 90 people showing up, PLZ. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud and thankful that you're coming, that you're going to be a part of it with me. It means the world to me. And we're going to have so much fun. You know, Saturday night's going to be a fun. I got a great band. We got a DJ. I got all the booze we can have. My buddy's car barn, and it's just going to be a rock and roll. And who knows? I'm sure I'm going to grab the mic and start singing, and it'll be a fun night. You know, I'm pretty nervous about the speech. I'm not gonna kid you. It's my one chance to really get all my feelings out, mm-hmm. all my thoughts, all my, you know, the gratitude, you know, all the things that I regret. I don't want to miss anything. Yeah. And the hall is really putting a very, very difficult time constraint on us.
5 minutes, right?
5 minutes, they say.
Yeah.
There's no way that I will finish it in 5 minutes. I will keep it under 10 for sure. I'm probably be around 8, maybe 7. But at one time it was 17 minutes. And I will say I am building a new website for my brand. I will be putting my original speech on my website when it does launch here in a couple of weeks. And I want people to hear everything that I said in my original speech, right? So I can get it off. But it's going to be great. But again, this is the closure, right? This is the closure of the chapter. I can shut the book on this chapter. You know, you and I both know what this year has meant to me, and I haven't been able to close this chapter of my life.
Right.
And, you know, this induction allows me to close the book on my hockey career. And I think that's important to me. And I want to soak it up and I want to enjoy it. I want to share it with my family and friends. And I want to make sure that that I leave my hockey life with a bang, because there's so much more to life that I'm looking forward to. And it's taken away a lot of the stress and a lot of the questioning and a lot of the sadness that I held inside because of maybe the way that I acted, the things that I said, the mm-hmm. image that I portrayed, or the image that people or the media portrayed.
Right.
It's really difficult. It's my last opportunity to leave people with the right image and I think thoughts of me.
Now you've got to bring your gear, right? Like you play Sunday too in the Hall of Fame game, correct?
Yeah, I get my jacket though right around 3 o'clock. The game starts at 3, so I'll probably miss, you know, most of the first period, but I'll jump in and play the second half. We got a great team. Ryan Getzlaff is playing. Tony Amonte's playing. My boy Brad May is playing. Eric Lindros is playing. Nice. They have a really good group of guys that are going to be playing in the Legends games at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So thoroughly looking forward to playing in that. I don't know if my knees, my back are, but mentally it's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be great. You know what? It's just going to be so much fun. Seeing guys, you know, for me, seeing guys that I refereed, but for you, seeing guys that you played with, played against, guys that you looked up to when you were growing up that are now in the Hall of Fame that will be at the Hall of Fame weekend. Like it's just the amount of people that we're going to see is just going to bring back so many good memories.
Yeah, it is. The favorite part of the weekend for you will be hanging in the lobby bar.
Yeah,
that's the meeting place for everybody at the end of the day after the festivities, where you sit back and you reminisce about the day and you talk about it until you can't remember it anymore.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting Tracy, hanging out with her, hanging out with your kids. I assume your daughter's coming in from Germany.
Yep, she flies in direct from Amsterdam to Toronto on Friday. We get in on Friday, and my schedule is immense throughout the entire weekend.
They got you going, eh?
They got me going. I literally have 2 minutes to rub together, so I probably won't see you too much during the weekend except for the party and after back at the hotel. But I know you're going to have a blast. You're going to know a lot of people that are there. You're going to be able to enjoy your role through the Hall of Fame because it's a spectacular thing. You know, you get to go in there and see the history of the game, the people that paved the way for us to be able to get on the ice and play. And, you know, you and I know what it took to, you know, to play in the league, to get to the league, and they're the ones that kind of paved the way for that to keep it going better. So I think you'll get a really great appreciation for going there the way that you're going.
Yeah, no, you know what? It's going to be fun and, you know, very well deserving. And, you know, we had Recky on last week, and obviously Mark's in the Hall of Fame and, you know, it's a special, special might not even be the right word, but it, to be able to look back, it's no matter what happens in life, it's something that you can always say, I'm in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And man, that's an incredible thing to be able to say, right?
Yeah, it's a small group, man. It's a small club.
I'll be proud to be there. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to be a small piece of it. And we'll have fun on Friday.
We will have fun. And I'm going to have fun selling some whiskey. And I have to get going because it's time. I see people lining up right now, right outside the door. So
that's awesome.
Because of Whiskey in the Wild, which is one of our sponsors, I thank you to Protected Net Guards and Bet Online. PLZ and I love you for your support, and we love everybody for listening. So from Jeremy Roenick and from Tim Peel, this has been Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. We will see you next Wednesday. Don't know the time yet, but we will definitely come and make your day. See you later, PLZ.
Yeah, buddy.